Okay, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians, chapter 2. And we're going to read from verses 6 through 10. We are in a series begun by our pastor Hiroshi. And the series he's doing is Build, Kizuku. And a sermon he preached a few months ago called Jibun Kizuki, Yesu no Yoni. So this is based on, loosely based on that sermon covering this text. So we're going to read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 10. And as is the custom when I preach, I like for us to read the scriptures out loud together. So let's read from verse 6 through 10. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Amen. In truth, I'll mainly be preaching on the first two verses there, actually the second verse, verse 7, because that is where we find the key word that Pastor Hiroshi has been preaching on throughout this year. You can see in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him. And today's message is primarily a meditation on that verse, built up in Christ. But just a quick word on the context of which we find this verse. We're in the book of Colossians. And Paul is the author of this letter to a church in Colossia. And his purpose in writing this letter is to strengthen and unify the believers in the Colossian church. And so how does he accomplish this purpose? Well, it's very simple. He is trying to bring them back to the truth that everything they needed to know about life with God could be found in Jesus Himself. You see, there were people, they were going around the area where the churches were located, and they were saying, you know, yes, Jesus is a good start. And the church is founded on what he started. But after Jesus, you have to go beyond that. There's more teaching that you need, more than what Jesus was able to give you. You start with what he has, and then you build from there. And you know, it sounded good to the Colossians. It made sense. It was reasonable to them. But Paul was saying, no, you don't need that at all. You started with Christ, and you see in verse 6, you received him as Lord of your life. And now listen, because he's the Alpha, he's the beginning, he's also the Omega, he is the end. When you start with Christ, you don't need to go on with anybody else. You just go ahead and finish with Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And that's the main point of what Paul is talking about in Colossians. And so now that you've started with Christ, you've received him as your Lord, you are now not to move on with other teachings or other philosophies. You continue to live in Jesus Christ. You continue to live in him. And that's what we have in verse, the second part of verse 6. You received him as your Lord and Savior. You were saved when you believed in Jesus Christ. And now you're going to continue to live in him. And so it is in this context that we find our verse, the key word for the year, build. So being built up in Christ comes in the context of living in Christ. Living in Christ. And well, what do we mean by living in Christ? What do we mean by live the phrase to live in Christ? And just a few points. Living in Christ, number one, means that you understand the process of being built up in Christ. It's a step-by-step process. God is sanctifying us. He has justified us through faith in Him. We are made right with God, and we are righteous in the sight of our Heavenly Father because of the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? We are justified, but that begins a process in our life where God is moving us from where we were to where He wants us to be. He loves you just the way you are. You didn't have to change. You didn't have to, you know, try to be all that this you weren't. God says, I'll take you just as you are. Just believe in my Son. But you know what? I love you too much to let you stay that way. And I'm going to build you into this process called sanctification, where I'm going to get you ready for what I have for you. And that's a better life than what it was before. And it's this process. And step one of this process is, as we see, is being rooted in Christ. If you notice there, continue to live in Christ, being rooted, and built up. And just this, I love how descriptive Paul is. He starts with the bottom, and then he also continues to the top. There's that image of the rooting and building up. And that first step is going down into the foundation of our lives, the very thing that we base our lives on, our values, what matters most to us, our worldview, how we see ourselves and how we see the world and ourselves in this world. And it's all based on the model of Christ. I said it's all based on Jesus Christ Himself, His teachings, His actions, His life and His ministry. It's all based in His deeds, His whole life in general. From the foundation, we build step by step on the principles of His Word. Your life as a Christian starts with Jesus Christ and His teachings and His ministry. I'm reading, ever since a few years ago, we had a woman here, and she said, you know, I'm going to try to read the Bible in 1 year. And I said, that is a great idea. I'm going to do that too. And I've started reading the Bible, you know, in a year-long Bible program. And I love the program I'm on right now. Half of the year is reading in the Gospels. So the first 6 months of every year has me in the Gospels. And that's all the teachings, all the words and deeds, and all the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. And so I get to start the first half of my year on Jesus Christ, laying that foundation of my life on His teachings, His words, His actions. And it's just a wonderful way to get into the Word. Then step two is being built up from there. Being built up. It's a day-by-day process. God is building in us a life that Christ finds valuable. Day by day, prayer by prayer, prayer by prayer, day by day. God is trying to build in us something that counts, something that lasts. There's this scripture where Jesus is talking about a man who was going to build his house. And the first thing he did was, when he found the land, he saw that the topsoil was soft, and he says, I'm not going to build my land on this topsoil. I'm going to dig down deep, and I'm going to find the rock, and I'm going to build on that. And so when the storm came, the floods came, the waters didn't knock the house over because it was built on the rock. And Jesus said, that is like the man or the woman or the person who builds their life on my principles, on my teaching, on my life, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's day by day that Christ is building us lives that are meaningful. And what do we mean by a meaningful life? I was reading the other day in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is talking about just different kinds of seeds, talking about the gospel, and there's different kinds of people who come to church and come to know God. There's the people who at first say, yes, Jesus is good, I need him, he's real. And then when the trouble comes, there's no foundation, there's no root. And so they get swept away by the wind. There's other people, when they hear the gospel, there's so many distractions from other people that it just gets jumbled up in all of the messages, and they can't really understand what Jesus is teaching. Then there's other people who get the word of God, and they receive the message of Christ. And it makes sense to them, and they receive it, and they start to grow. But Jesus says this, while they're growing, there are other things in their life. There's the worries of life. There's the pursuits of riches. And there's the temptations of pleasures. Those three things, worries, riches, and pleasures of this world, that grow up with their faith, and it chokes out their faith. And I was so convicted when I read that scripture, because I thought, oh God, let that not be my life. One that's wasted on just worries and troubles and making the bills and paying all my debts and loans. And Lord, let me not be distracted by trying to accumulate so many things and you know, status and all those things. But Lord, let me not be choked by all these things, because they're meaningless and they don't amount to anything. God is trying to build up a life that counts. Paul mentions when God, in the end, he's going to judge everything that we've done. And some things that we do are like wood, hay, and straw. And when God looks at it, they just burn up because they're meaningless. They have had no meaning for eternity. But there's going to be some things in our lives that are made of gold, silver, and precious metals. And those things are going to be able to withstand the heat, the fire of God's judgment. And that's what God wants to build up in our lives, is things that last, things that matter, relationships that will count for eternity. People that we meet who will know Jesus Christ because we've met them. That's what God wants. Lives being changed, the poor being fed, the hungry being fed, the naked being clothed, the brokenhearted being healed. Oh, I love that song that Bob shared with us. We take our light and we go to the hopeless, we go to the hurting, we go to the poor. That's who Jesus is calling us to. Jesus said, I didn't come to heal the healthy. I came to heal the sick. And that's, I think, what Jesus is talking about when he wants to build us up. Just step three of the process is being strengthened in the faith as we were taught. And if you look there, being strengthened in the faith as we were taught, the verb taught is in the past tense. We were taught. It means when we started with Christ, it was the teaching that we first received. It was the teaching, the basic teaching of the gospel that saved us. That's what counts. Every year or every couple of years, I'll walk by a bookstore, and you know, it depends on what season it is, but sometimes they'll have just this whole rack right in front of the store, and it's the latest self-help teaching series, you know. And, you know, every couple of years, you know, some new teacher comes out with a new way of thinking and a new catchphrase, you know, who moved my cheese, or swimming with the sharks, or, you know, the power of positive thinking. You know, every few years, something comes out, and it's just a new thing. Or every couple of years, there's a new diet, a new habit of eating, or a new vitamin that people can take, and it's, you know, making their life better. Or it's a new exercise machine. When you watch TV, you flip through, and they've got things shocking every muscle in your body, or you can lose 10 pounds by sitting on your couch. Nobody loses 10 pounds just by sitting down. You got to get up and move. But you know, every year, something new comes out, and it's the latest thing, and the fools go out and pay money for it. They call up. But when it comes to your faith, when it comes to your life with Jesus Christ, you don't need the newest teaching. You don't need the latest ideas. You just need this book. You just need what Jesus wrote to you in the pages of this book. That's all you need. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the author, and the finisher of our faith. Our life is grounded in His Word. And yes, there are pastors who write new books. And you know, there's interesting websites and good blogs we read. And I've got a couple of my own, and I read those books myself, and I think they're good. And there's good online messages that we can, listen to regularly. I've got a few of my own I like to listen to. But let me tell you, they should never, ever replace our time in the Bible. That time we spend in the Word, in Jesus' teaching, should never be replaced by a good pastor's blog or a good teacher's book or anything like that. There's no new fad. There's no new teaching. It's just the old thing, the old stuff that we need to get back to. That's what really counts. That's what will change our life. That's what will build up the faith, the strength in the faith that we were taught. And so it's the process of living in Christ that we have to understand as we are built up. But not just the process, but it's the person who's building us up. We have the phrase, God is not finished with me yet. Christians have this phrase, I'm not perfect, I mess up every time and again, and sometimes it's an excuse, but I think it's legitimate. God's not finished with me yet. I've stumbled and I fall and I trip, but I get up and God is still working on me. And that's this kind of American phrase that we have. But notice the key word, the subject of this sentence, God is not yet finished with me. God is the subject of that. And so living in Christ means understanding the person who's doing the building. The person who's doing the building. That is Jesus Himself. If you notice in the scripture that we read there, live in Him, rooted and built up and strengthened in the faith. Those key verbs are all in the passive voice. In Japanese, ukemi. Okay? We are being built up. We don't build ourselves up. We are rooted. We don't root ourselves. We are strengthened. We don't strengthen ourselves. In other words, it's not us doing the work, but it is Jesus Himself who is doing the work in us. The scriptures say, the God of peace equips us with everything good for doing His will. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It's the person of Jesus Christ who's doing the work in us. That's building us up. That's rooting us in Him. That's strengthening our faith. There was a man who was drowning in a river. The waters were just rushing him down, and he was barely able to keep afloat. Fortunately, the rescue team caught up to him. They found a bridge before he was going to pass it, and they threw out a rope so that he can grab onto it. And as he saw the rope, he tried to swim for it, and he grabbed the rope, and he hung on. And he went under the bridge, but still he was able to keep hold of the rope. And the waters were just pushing and pushing. The flood was raging. You know, he almost slipped, but he kept on holding on. And, you know, as the waters were pulling him one way, the rescuers were pulling the rope back, and his life was going to be saved. And it was cold, he was wet, he was hungry, he could barely hold on. And as he was coming out, he's saying, "I'm doing a great job. Look at me. Look how I'm holding on to this rope. Look how strong I am. Look how I'm just saving myself from this flood." And you think, what a fool to think that way. It wasn't him. It wasn't his strength that was saving his life. It was the rope that was pulling him out of the water. It was the rope that was keeping him from being swept away. It was the rope that was saving his life. And how foolish we are when we think, look at me. Look how good I'm doing. Look how strong I'm walking today. Look at what God is. Look at what I've done with my life. And look at all around me and all the things I'm blessed with. I must have been doing something right. I must have been a really good person to think God has done this. And the scriptures go, no, it's not you. But it's the person who's building you up. It's that rope. It's Jesus Christ who's doing the good work in you. It's Jesus Christ who has equipped you. It's Jesus Christ who has empowered you. It's Jesus Christ who's given you the grace to walk with strength and in his power to do and to act according to his good purpose. It's Jesus Christ. And so all we need to do is not acknowledge ourselves, but acknowledge Jesus Christ. And then say, God, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for being so good to me. All we have to do is to be thankful. To be thankful. It's not just the process or the person, but it's the product of being built up. And that is to have the heart of gratitude to God for what he's done. The scripture says, overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. When I read that, I'm reminded of a story that happened in the Gospels of Luke, where there's a woman who heard about Jesus, and somehow she was touched by his word, his ministry, and Jesus happened to be in her town, and he was staying, he was having a dinner at a big house at a banquet that's being held for him. And Jesus is sitting there at the table, and he's enjoying the banquet. And this woman just, you know, finds a way to get inside the house. And she works her way to where Jesus is sitting. And when she sees him and she stands there, she's overcome with, I don't know what. It doesn't say, but it's just overwhelming her. And she just begins to cry. And she's weeping and weeping. And she's weeping to the point where the tears are just showering Jesus' feet. And Jesus' feet is just being washed by her tears. And then she gets to the point where she can kneel down. And because Jesus' feet is being washed by her tears, she said, okay, I'm just going to wipe his feet with my hair. She's literally overflowing. And when I read that, I just thought, what kind of tears were they? Were they bitter tears? You know, looking back at all that she's been through and what's been forced on her and the life she lived and, you know, what kind of tears were they? Were they anxious tears? Were she thinking, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do with myself? Or were they angry tears? You know, trying to get vengeance on those things that men have done to her and that she's had to go through? Or I just thought, maybe what if they were thankful tears? I don't know. But when I just read, we were overflowing with thankfulness, that woman was overflowing. And she just couldn't stop herself from weeping. And Jesus was so touched by it. And the host of the party looked at Jesus and he said to himself, if Jesus knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't let her even touch him. And Jesus, being God, he read his mind. And he says, you know what? The minute I came into your house, you didn't wash my feet with any water. But this woman hasn't stopped washing my feet with her tears. When I came in, you didn't put any oil on my head, as is the custom, to cleanse me, to welcome me. But this woman brought a jar of perfume and has put perfume on my feet. She was literally overflowing. She didn't have to minister. She didn't have to serve. She didn't have to, you know, join the worship team. She didn't have to teach a Bible study. She didn't have to, you know, do anything. She just had to just overflow with something to Jesus. And that just had a powerful effect on me. That's all he wants of us. That's all it needs, all we need for him to take note, for us to just be so thankful to him. You know, I've said it before, and this is a point I get on, but, you know, you meet foreigners, you know, living here. This is a city of a million people. You're going to meet a few Gai Kokujin every now and then. And you meet some, and all they do is just, from the minute they get off the plane, they're just complaining. It's too hot. It's so humid. It's not humid like this where I'm from. Oh, it's so cold. Why does it have to be so cold? Oh, it's so, the weather, it just doesn't suit me. And, you know, I don't understand what people are saying. Of course you don't understand what people are saying. It's a different language. Or, you know, I just can't communicate with people and they don't understand me. All you ever hear is just how bad it is. And you just think, why are you still here then? Why do you stay? But then you also meet another kind of foreigner. You know, you meet other foreigners, you know, they're just so thankful to be here. Maybe they've come from a country where it's hard to find work. And they're just glad that they have work and they can send money home to their family. Or they're just glad to have a chance to leave the country where they've grown up and they have a chance to explore and just enjoy different challenges and new things. And nobody understands them and they're so happy about that because they can, you know, study a new language and they're just thankful to be, and I love meeting those kinds of foreigners. But you know what? It's not just foreigners you meet like that. It's Christians as well. You meet Christians. Some of them, you know, it's like they go to a church and, you know, the message just wasn't right. You know, he was misquoted. He took the Bible out of context the people that, you know, it's too big. There's just too many people. I don't feel like I can stand out. Or it's too small. I just, you know, the things don't happen the way they do at my home church. Of course, it's a different church. They just can't find the right things all the time. You meet Christians like that. But then you also meet a different kind of Christian who's just so thankful to be in church. I've been here a year, and man, you know, I go to church in my home country, and I've been working here, and I couldn't find a church, but man, I saw your church on the internet, and I finally found it. I'm so thankful to be here. Oh man, the church I've been going to, it's all Japanese. They're good people. That's a good church family. The good pastor, but I still don't have the language yet, and I can't understand everything, and I'm just so glad to worship God in English, and I can understand what's being said, and they're just so thankful to meet people, God's family, wherever it is, wherever they are, and I love meeting those kinds of Christians, love just fellowshipping with those kinds of believers, because they build me up. They're so thankful. And that's what I think Christ is saying here. We are to overflow with thankfulness. Every other word is thank you so much, God. Thank you so much, Jesus. If I had 1,000 tongues, it just wouldn't be enough to say thank you. That's what it means to overflow, I think, with thankfulness. So it's that process of living in Christ, but it's also the person who's doing it all, Jesus himself. And all we have to do is be thankful for all that he does in our life. And for that, I think he's talking about being built up in him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you for your word to us, for your encouragement to us, for your kindness to us. Lord, I pray for those here who need strengthening, who need encouragement. I pray that you'd encourage them to strengthen them, Lord God, in their weak times. I pray, Lord, for those here who are having difficulty getting grounded and being rooted in your word. I pray you open up the Bible for them. I pray that they would be able to understand exactly what you have for them in your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those who are having difficulty day by day to build that relationship with you. I pray that they would be able to open up time in their busy schedules to meet with you, to fellowship with you, to read your word every single day. I pray for those here who are struggling with thankfulness and a heart of gratitude. I pray that, Lord, you would open their eyes to all that you've done for them. Lord, so that they would overflow as the woman did with thankfulness, God, to you. Father, you said that if anybody is weary or tired, heavy burdened, Lord, if they would just come to you, you would give them rest. For your burden is light and your yoke is easy. Lord, I pray that for those here who are tired and weary, I pray that they would find you and find the rest for their souls. And Lord, for all these things, we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.